2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Then we'll take it after we look at Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then the word there is the verb of salvation, sozo, which has to do with protect, preserve, heal, deliver from their sins. And he said that to have the sozo, you have what is called the sota. It's the sota that you have what is called the soteria. We've done all that study. But let's just focus on sins in this instance. The sota is the man who carries out the act, which usually will be like a noble, a king, someone in charge of a territory. Then sozo is the very act of preserving the territory. So the where you say salvation, it's in that sota, is within the act and action of that sota, S-O-T-E-R. From there we have soteria. So you have all those things interwoven in the use of language. Now, in Matthew 26, Jesus was clearer than the angel said. Matthew 26 and verse 28. He says, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So what is called the sozo from their sins is now called remission. Remission there is the word aphesis, which is a word we are going to unbundle next week. We'll deal with forgiveness of sins and all that. But aphesis is where you have aphiemi. Aphiemi is the verb, A-P-H-I-E-M-I. It means to take away, to take off, to remove from. When you have aphiemi, you have A-P-O. Apo means from or away from. So where you have aphesis, it says this is the new covenant, the blood of the New Testament, my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission, for the taking away or removal of from. Okay? So we'll discover where was that done, what's the effect of that. Now, obviously, by using the word again, you know, we have the first one was sozo amataya, which is two keywords there. Sozo amataya means to preserve. It's a bit different, but they are saying the same thing, just that different explanations of the same act, you know, preserve, heal, deliver from. Okay? But in this instance, it says remission of sins. That's the taking away of sins. So in the first instance, it appears that the object is the man. That is the Matthew 1:21. But in the second instance, that's Matthew 26:28, it looks like the object is the sin itself. Don't forget, I told you, don't fall into the trap of the plural. It's of nothing too significant. Whether it's plural or singular, it's not significant. It should not form a basis of opinion, because it's just sin. So that's not where understanding hems from. That, oh, this is singular, this is plural. No. Don't get caught up in all that. It's not necessary. Now, having said that, so Jesus explains that. And why I had to quote Jesus, I believe you understand, is because the very first one was a quote by an angel. And so an angel quote is suspect, and we must refer to what Jesus said about the same thing. So Jesus is clearer. Of course, he will be clearer. He's the word than what the angel said. But then look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I'll start from 15. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. We said the word wise there is the Greek word sophizo, S-O-P-H-I-Z-O, which means to be skillful. The same statement that Peter made in 2 Peter 1:16, cunningly devise fables, to be skillful, to become like an artist in the subject of salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, by using the word salvation, okay, and mentioning salvation, you cannot explain salvation without explaining salvation from sins. Because the essence of salvation is salvation from sins. Okay, so our teaching of salvation of sin is definitely our teaching on salvation. You know? So you can't teach salvation outside sin, because if you mention sozo, you will save from what? You know, and it says from their sins, which is a key term here, and it's our study today. Save from their sins, which is used 108 times, that word sozo. And so it will help us understand, you know, what sin really is. You know, what beclouded many people's judgment has always been this concept of Jesus came to pay for Adam's sin, you know, and then Adam's sin became everybody's sin. That's beclouded our judgment, and you know, we've been unbundling that over the last few years, and I believe that by this time you should have some clarity on that. That Jesus came, Adam's sin, whether you do anything or not, you know, Adam's sin is your sin. You just check your accounts. You have an alert, and it's Adam's sin. You know, you know, very interesting. But it has its merits, but is weighed out by what it portends to present about God. So, now the word sozo is going to be our key word, because it will help us, since it's a verb. Oftentimes, a verb explains the noun for you. When you say clean, you say clean. Clean, you have clean. There is a cleanse. Cleanse will tell you a few things. What it cleaned to be clean. Okay? Clean from what? So, oftentimes, the verb will explain to you what that noun is. So, in this instance, the word sozo is going to be our help. Now, sozo, we've seen it earlier, Matthew 1:21. But again, it's used for other things. And because of that, as it were, diminutive use or multidimensional use, it aids our understanding of sin. Matthew 8:25. Now, this was about the tempest of the storms on the sea. The disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Save us, we perish. There was no sin involved, but look at that. That's a protection from danger. Protection from danger. Again, in the same Matthew 9, verse 21, the same word sozo is used. I shall be whole. Same thing, verse 22. Made whole is used for healing. That is soundness of the body. To keep safe and to keep sound. So it's rescue. It's also used for keeping safe and sound, or to be whole, to be made whole. So, that helps us a bit. Go to Acts 2:21. This is the reason why a lot of people call salvation a total package. You know, Acts 2:21. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sozo. You and I know you couldn't have been saying shall be saved from sickness. That's not what he's talking about. Saved here you know, will be the sozo. So we have rescue, we also have wholeness. Now, this is taken from Joel 2. Wholeness or prevention from harm. Joel 2 and verse 32. It shall come to pass. Now, why am I using this text? Because that's what Peter used on the very first sermon in the book of Acts. Yeah, and from, it was from there that he preached the gospel of salvation. He quoted from Joel 2. Oftentimes we think he stopped at "I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh," but actually where he stopped was on salvation. So he now explained that the Lord who gave that promise that they saw fulfilled is the one that you call upon his name and you are saved. He now went ahead. What he was actually explaining till we got to verse 34 was the verse 21. He didn't talk about the things of the Spirit beyond just quoting Joel's prophecy. What he actually explained was that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he now took time to explain who that Lord is. Is that very clear? Is it clear? Okay. So, verse 32, Joel 2. It shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Look, notice the word delivered, which is another word. This is the Hebrew. It is the word malat. M-A-L-A-T or malat. It's used 95 times in the Hebrew. You have Genesis 19, verse 17. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Escape. Okay? Then verse 19. Which thou hast showed me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain. So he's talking about an escape. So that salvation there is saved, it is delivered here, is an escape. Now, the other word, he says, look at that Joel 2 again. Shall be delivered. In the Mount Zion, Jerusalem, shall be the deliverance. The deliverance. Which is another word, peleta. P-E-L-E-T-A-H. Which also refers to an escape. Okay? Where you find this in Genesis 32 verse 8. Genesis 32 and verse 8. Which shall escape. And then Genesis 45 verse 7. So, obviously, when you say, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved, he's talking about an escape. Shall escape from a consequence. Or shall escape from consequences. Okay? So the Lord there is a sota. So the salvation refers to an escape. Or a prevention from harm. Obviously, that will be a prevention from danger. Which will be, you can call it the punishment of sin or the consequences of sin. So that's salvation. Now, that sozo comes up again, Matthew 9:22. Were there earlier, shall be made whole, which we said refers to healing or soundness. The same word is in Mark 5, 34. Mark 5, 34. Thy faith has made thee whole. Same word, whole, sozo. Mark 10, 52. Thy faith has made thee whole. And finally, Luke 7:50. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Has made you whole. The same word. So that means that the noun soteria, which is where we have the word salvation, comes from these two tangents. Prevention from harm and escape from punishment, and then a wholeness where the man who is saved is whole. Or you can put it healed, sound. I think I was so fast to say that. Or it just means sound. So we will see where it applies. So again, don't forget what Paul said to Timothy was, you know salvation, which is the noun, soteria, through faith, which is found in Christ. So let's observe that noun again. Luke 1:69. He has raised up an urn of salvation for us in the house of David, verse 71, that we should be saved. He preached that now. From our enemies and from the hand of all that hates us. Okay? Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. So far, what we have read is spiritual in nature, right? Is it? Is it spiritual in nature? Okay. Acts 27:34. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. That word there is salvation. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Okay? Now, this is obviously preservation. So, it's also used for preservation. Now, James 5. Verse 13. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. Look at 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall what? Now the save there is healing. Right? Shall save the sick. Now look at the way he uses his words. Then in verse 20, the same person now says, let him know that he which converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from hell. You know why we went to all this? Is so that you would not, I know you know it, but just to get extra in your mind, that total package thing doesn't make any sense. That it is, look at words within what? The context. So obviously, he employed the same word in verse 14 and 15 for something physical. Then in verse 20 of the same letter, he now goes to talk about something spiritual. So there is no total package. It's just a word that must be seen in the context. Is it clear? Is it clear? Mm-hmm. In the context of what he's saying. Now, that word sinner is vital. Okay? It's the word amatolos, because we would need it. H-A-R-M-A-T-O-L-O-S. It means somebody who sins. Who has been seen to see. But look at a terminology he uses here. James 5. Look at how he describes this. He says, which converts the sinner from the error of his way. The word there is to restore. It is the word epistrepho. E-P-I-S-T-R-E-P-H-O. E-P-I-S-T-R-E-P-H-O. It's used to turn back or to restore to. It's used 36 times, and you will see how it will come at us shortly, to come back to us so strongly. So, notice the difference. It says, he will restore from the error of his ways, shall save a soul from death. So, that means that restoration will be a restoration of life. Now, interestingly, the word death here, which is the Greek word thanatos, is used for death over 60 times. Or is the word death over 60 times in the New Testament Greek. And you can mark this. About 90% of the use of these words, over 50 times of this, is used for spiritual things. And that's because that's the epistles. The epistles focus on spiritual realities. So he's saying that this salvation is a restoration, a turning back. Remember, we're looking at the word sozo here, a turning back. So that, of course, that's not prevention alone from the danger of sin. It now goes into another explanation for us. That is, it is to restore. Now, when you use the word restoration, that obviously is to be safe and sound, or to be whole, wholesomeness. So he says, and he explains what he meant. He says, and shall hide a multitude of sins, which is the word cover. To cover a multitude of sins. This is what that Peter applied just the same, the next letter, chapter 4 and verse 8. Love, he says, shall cover a multitude of sins. So, what is happening here is not that the fellow has stopped sinning. It's that the love has covered it, which is the word kalupto. It means to make it not to be seen. So, obviously, James uses sozo in a two-way, in a two-dimensional way. That one, it restores the fellow and takes care of the consequence of sin. And that's quite brilliant because he puts it in the same text for us. To restore the fellow and takes care of the consequence of sin. Now, we'll see that. Don't forget again, he had used it earlier, shall save the sick. Whosoever is sick among you, let him call for the elders. That gives us an idea. By coming down later to talk about sozo, to use sozo for sins, it shows you that he's giving us a template to see sins in the way we see sickness. I did not say sin is sickness. No. I'm saying it's using sickness to explain sin, or vice versa. And that's going to help our study today. Shall save, all right? Again, the salvation in James 5:20 is a soul from death. A soul from death. Soul there refers to the life of a man, not a mind, not the mind, the life. Suche is the life of the man. Now go to Hebrews 12. Hmm. Verse 13.
Make straight paths for your feet. Let that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Let it rather be healed. Obviously, he's not talking about physical sickness here. But this is similar to how a body, a physical body, is healed physically. Now, the word here to heal will be the word, and you need it now, iomai. I-A-O-M-A-I. I-A-O-M-A-I. So, don't forget we are treating the word sozo, which we have seen is to protect from harm, and at the same time, is restorative. Is it clear? Is it clear? Okay. It describes healing as well. Look at Luke 4:18. That's Jesus now, quoting from Isaiah 61. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel." I want you to pay attention here. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Look at that. To heal. The word iomai. To heal the brokenhearted. Obviously, without going further, which we are going to do, he's definitely not referring to something physical. I hope that's clear. Okay, good. So, look at the word heal. Matthew 13, 15. I want to read that together. Matthew 13, 15. Let's go. Let's go. For these people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears were full of, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and they should understand with their heart, and should be what? It's that same word converted, epistrophe. I told you to take note of it. And I should what? I oh my. Is this physical or spiritual? Huh? Thank you. It's not a healing scripture at all. Whereas in the same Matthew 8:13, Matthew uses the word healing. Matthew 8:13, go thy way as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. In the self same hour. So, they didn't expect you to give a universal application to the word healing. You must give it a contextual meaning when you see it. I mean, this is the same writer, just like James. He wrote about sozo, physical sickness, in James 5:14-15. Then he goes in 20 to talk about something that is not physical. And the same thing has applied just now. We read Matthew 13, where Matthew uses the same term, iomai, for something non-physical. Then he goes earlier on, he has explained healing, which is physical, using the same term. So there's no universal application of that term. It's just for you to find out what is in discussion. Acts 28, verse 8. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed, and laid his hands on him, and what? I oh my. Now go to verse 27 of the same chapter. For the heart of these people is waxed gross, and their ears are full dull of hearing, and their eyes are very closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should what? The same word, I oh my. Same word. So, it just moves from the physical to the non-physical, or call it the spiritual, in the same writing. So, there is such an explanation of sin being a condition like sickness. Look at James 5. Remember we saw how James used the word sozo differently. Look at another thing here. James 5:16. Verse 15, it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Lord shall raise him up, physical. And if he had committed sins, verse 15, they shall be forgiven him. Not by the Lord, though, but by brethren. Then it says, confess your faults. Can you see it now? Can you see it? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be what? Physical? Huh? Is this physical? Healed here refers to relationships. First Peter 2:24. We're going to come to this one, I think, in the next session or so. Who is own self bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were what? Is this physical? No. Next verse. You were as sheep going astray. You are now what? Can you see it again? Returned unto the shepherd. I said he's going to come back at us. He said, you are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. This again is not a physical healing scripture at all. Is it making sense? But one thing we have seen a similarity between physical healing and, I'm careful of saying spiritual healing, because I know some Christian Science people have handled that term, and they made that word need healing itself, but or healing used for salvation. I think that makes sense, so that won't sound somehow. Sometimes you have to know how to communicate something very well, so that your words are not evil spoken of. It's not boast that Jesus found no fault. They found no fault in his mouth. There's wisdom in that. If you were just talking like people talk on social media today, they won't just find faults. They will find errors unwittingly. Now, Luke 4:18. So this is going to help our study of sin, because that's what we're doing. We want to see it in clarity. Luke 4:18. We're going to come back there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Please pay attention here. To preach the gospel to the poor. Now that's like the heading. You know, I've heard people say, the gospel is to the poor. I say, what do you mean by that? So that you become rich. How does that make sense? And they say, well, you preach the gospel to the poor. Preach the gospel to the poor. And I ask the question, I say, okay, how many people became rich in Jesus' ministry? In fact, he even told the rich to become poor. Say, give all you have. Obviously, everything Jesus is mentioning here was spiritual in nature. We're going to see that shortly. The word poor, there's the word tochos, P-T-O-C-H-O-S in the Greek, P-T-O-C-H-O-S. It means to be without something, to be destitute, to be beggarly, to want something that you don't have. Remember, we are treating sin from the perspective of wholeness. Are you there? Okay, so we have seen the poor here as to be without, to an absence of something. So we'll come back to that shortly. So the heading of what Jesus said is to preach the gospel, the good news, to the destitute. Are you there? This is the heading. So, everything we're going to read after will describe that poverty. Because the poverty here, obviously, is not having money. In fact, towards the end of his ministry, for the 3.5 years, he said, the poor you will always have among you. So that had nothing to do with this. In Matthew 5:3, the challenge many times and I think this is the battle we face in charismatic churches, is the fact that we often hate context. It's like the minute we stick to context, our churches might close down. Because that's it. Because you see, many things will just be taken and given a universal application. No, you don't. Nobody does that. In Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, it relates poverty there as spiritual in nature. Matthew 11:5. After John the Baptist sent a pre-disclaimer, he says, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. He didn't say the poor became, they started buying houses. The gospel preached, that is spiritual. Whereas in Matthew 19, verse 21, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. See how we mix that distinction. Give something physical, and then there's something spiritual that is not seen. So this is, it makes that distinction. Matthew 26, verse 9. For this ointment had been sold for much and given to the poor. Giving to the poor. Notice that what they do to the poor is to give, not to preach. That's physical poverty. Matthew 26:11. The poor you will always have with you. Physical. Who's following this at all? Are you following this? Notice that we are using the same words, but they have different applications. Is it very clear? And the moment you step out of context, the implication will be totally different from the intention of the writer. And you can't have truth from untruth. You cannot have the truth whenever you say something out of the meaning and the context. That can never be the truth. It can be convincing for people. It can get results, and you know, lies get results. They do. If lies don't get results, how do politicians win elections? Or how do some guys marry some girls? That's results. Let's get into all that, you know. Lest we unsozo some brethren. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:9. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was rich, he became poor. Okay? Same word to chose. He became poor. Was made poor. And you know, of course, that's another verse that has been made poor. We have stripped that verse of everything it meant. Say Jesus was made poor. So I'm rich. I'm rich. Okay. I'm rich. So what was Jesus made poor? Say, well, don't say he was made poor. When he came to the earth, he became poor. And the same people will tell you that his clothes were so expensive that they were fighting over it. You have to pick one. It's either he was rich or he was poor. No. He's on the cross. So who took his goods? Did anybody report his goods were stolen or he was duped? No. Obviously, the terms are spiritual. Tochos. Obviously, poor in the spirit, which is the same thing he said. He became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Revelation 3:17. So we have seen another term used for the state of a man. We've seen sickness used spiritually. We have seen poverty used how? Come and talk to me. Okay, we have also seen danger. Sozo used spiritually. Are you getting this? Okay. Revelation 3, verse 17. This is even funny. Because thou sayest, I am rich. That's a confession, right? And now, let the poor say, I am rich. I used to sing that song. I'm rich and increased with goods. I mean, that's a confession. If you say that today, say, my God. And have need of nothing. This is the prosperity gospel in summary. And knowest not that thou art wretched. Can you imagine? Miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I'm not sure that when you see such rich guys, they'll be naked. I mean, you have all the designers. Some guys even use Instagram for it. They're turning around. When they're making up, we see it. Why is vanity all over you? So, when you see them, you just say, vanity, vanity. Bro, so you say, bro, vanity, how are you? It's a vanity, how are you doing? That's why they spend their whole life to just on vain things. Say, my intro will be at Federal Palace. Then that evening, we'll now go and do lunch at a hotel. That's just a Nigerian aspect. Then we now do the African aspect. We know South Africa will be the church wedding. Then we travel to America for the reception. Then the Sunday morning, we'll now go to Paris for the closure. When are you going to heaven? Just vanity. Vain things. So, obviously the word poverty there is spiritual. Clear? Okay. So go back to Luke 4:18. So we're about to describe that spiritual poverty. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal, Iomai, the brokenhearted. That's not, brokenhearted is not ladies who have been jilted or men who have been jinxed. You know, particularly you also want an Instagram display and then you went to kneel down in the wrong place. The girl said, no. And it's live. You know, I've seen Christians do those things. That's interesting. You don't get worldlier than that. Do you? And everybody says, oh! You know? And then she says, no. And says, and he says, yes. So God now sent Jesus to heal that broken heart. God became a man to come and comfort your loss. The brokenhearted is the word. Suntribo in the Greek is S-U-N. That's the word broken. S-U-N-T-R-I-B-O. It means crushed, bruised, and shattered. Actually, it has a strong inclusion. The word tribos means a beaten part. So what it means is this. Hear me very well. Tribos explains it. It's the way you create a path. You know, when you create a path, you break something. So something will be taken off for there to be a path. Are you getting this? Okay. So what is essence saying that something is missing in the heart. And the heart there, when you say cardia, cardia in the entire Bible, I think the Greek is leb, L-E-B. Sorry, the Hebrew is leb, and then the Greek is cardia. You will never, is never used for anything physical. Heart. So don't think it's, I love it with my heart. And you know, turn to the blood pumping. No, no. He's talking about the inner core of a man. So it means it's, again, that explains the poverty. It's broken. Tribos, there's a miss. There's a missing part in there. It's sick. The word son tribo, like I said, you see it in Luke 9:39. And then Romans 16:20 for the devil will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. So the brokenhearted is a spiritual condition of a man who is crushed, and not just crushed, he is destitute. To heal the brokenhearted. The next statement he says, to preach deliverance to the captives. The word captive there is the word, let me write this down. Aikmatolos, A-I-C-H-M-A-T-O-L-O-S. Aikmatolos, A-I-C-H-M-A-T-O-L-O-S. Don't say, well, we're using so many words. Yes. These are not motivational teachings. Okay? These are doctrinal subjects that, you know, it will take us a while to get, you know, through to that. Take us a while. So, we have to be very, very intelligent in how we view these truths. So, look at it again. Aikmatolos, it has a word that the word spare. A-I-C-H-M-E is used for spare. A spare. So, aikmatolos will mean someone who is controlled, or better still, conquered under spear, or at the threat of a spear. So this destitute fellow is brokenhearted, and then is also at the threat of a spear, of course, spiritual in nature. Then the word here, deliverance, is the word aphesis. Don't forget aphesis. A-P-H-E-S-I-S. Which means to take away, to set free, to let loose, to let go the captives. Notice the word aphesis is used the second time to set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruised, again, is the word thrao. T-H-R-A-O, to be crushed. So, this spiritual poverty deals with a condition. A condition. The last one is recovering of sight, which means to be made to see. Anablepsis in the Greek. A-N-A-B-L-E-P-S-I-S. To be made to see. There's the blindness of being physically blind, Matthew 11:5. But there's the blindness that is spiritual. Look at Matthew 15, verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Matthew 23, verse 24. You blind guys and strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. So blindness there is not physical. I hope that's clear. I hope that's clear. Romans 2, 19. And are confident that thou thyself a guide of the blind. Then we read Revelation 3:17 the other time. You are blind, you are naked. Then 2 Peter 1:9. He that lacks this thing is blind, cannot see far off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So blindness there, obviously, relate with something spiritual. Go back to Luke 4. So Jesus's primary work is spiritual, right? Come on. Luke 4:18. But we discovered that, we are describing a condition. So the healing is spiritual in nature because the condition is spiritual. Luke 4:19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Notice that the healing is in a message. The acceptable year of the Lord. Is the word dektos in the Greek, D-E-K-T-O-S, which is to welcome. So, if this is about being welcome, that means again, the healing and all we have been talking about is relationship based. The acceptable year of the Lord, which is the word dektos. Luke 4:24. No prophet is accepted in his own country. Welcome. Acts 10:35. Is accepted with him. Philippians 4:18. But more importantly, 2 Corinthians 6:2. I want us to look at that together. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Let's read it together. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Let's take it together. 2 Corinthians 6, let's go. For he said, I've heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation, have I succored thee? Behold, now is the time accepted. Behold, now is the day. So, the acceptable year of the Lord is salvation. So, obviously, the word dektos, which is, you have the word dekomai as well, it means to be granted access. To be granted access. And so, he uses the word year, which is not a particular calendar year. It's a cycle of time. The Greek word refers to a cycle of time. Something that has begun. Acceptable year. So can we see that sin is treated like a disease? Who has seen that? Let me see if you have seen that. It's treated like a disease. A disease. And salvation from sin is treated like healing of that disease. Let's go back to that Matthew 13. Verse 13 to 15. Look at how he describes it. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not. Spiritual? Huh? Hearing they hear not. Spiritual? Let them understand. 14. That in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. 15. And these people's heart, we read it earlier, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and shall understand with their heart, and should be what? Remember that word? Epistrepho. Converted. And should be. And I should heal them. Look at Luke's account of the same story. Or Mark. Let's take Mark first. Mark 4:12. That seeing they may see and not perceive. Hearing they may hear and not understand. Now please pay attention because we'll need this next week. Lest at any time they should be what? It's coming back to you, okay? Epistrepho. And their sins should be what? So the healing is called forgiveness here. Can you see it? Can you see it? All right, good. Luke 8 and verse 12. Don't forget, forgiveness is afiemi. It means to take away. Luke 8, verse 12. Let's take it together. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be what? Saved. So salvation is called healing, is called forgiveness of sins. Now go to John 12, verse 40. The same and be converted, and I should heal them. I need you to pay attention here. Of course, they are all quoting Isaiah's prophecy, but look at the pretext of this one. Verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet fulfilled, which said, Lord, who has believed our report? That's Isaiah 53, verse 1. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, this is quoted by Paul later in Romans 10:16. Who has believed our report? You say, whose report do you believe? Which I believe, the report of the Lord. His report says, in Jesus' name. The report here is the gospel. And it's clear what he was talking about. So the sozo is to make whole. Go to Romans 10. Maybe we should look at Romans 10. So what are we curing? We are curing a spiritual condition of sight, hearing, perception. Right? Come on. So if we talk about forgiveness and we take away, we are taking away that condition. There's a forgiveness that will take away the danger of conduct. And there's a forgiveness that will take away the condition of it. Who's following this at all? Are you following this? We know we examine sozo in the two lights. So, go to Romans 10. So never read your Bible with a universal application of words. Always say, what is he talking about? Romans 10, 16. Who has believed our report? So then, verse 17, faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's he talking about? Verse 9, verse 8. The word is nigh thee in your mouth, in your heart, that is the word of faith which you preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Sozo. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what is the report about? Huh? What's the report about? Salvation from sin. Thank you. So go to 1 Peter 2:24. So, salvation is safety, which is to prevent from harm and injury, right? Come on. Good. And also to cure a condition. So, we are looking at the B part. So, when you talk about healing, healing is restorative. It means that something is missing. Something is not there. So 1 Peter 2:24. We'll start it from verse 22. I'll start from 21, actually. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The word guile is the word deceit. The Greek word polos, deceit. So he calls sin deceit. Which Peter used in 1 Peter 2:1, guile. That's what you call scope. 1 Peter 3:10, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no scope. 1 Peter 3:10, no guile found in his mouth. That's the first thing he talks about. Then he says, now, the word mouth, it doesn't mean that you look at his mouth and his mouth is no guile. Mouth means speech. Stomach. Speech. Then he says, who when he was reviled, which is to be abused. Okay? Now, there's a way Peter puts it. When he was abused. The Greek word here is I-O-I-D-O-R-E-O. Abuse, which Paul used also for himself and the apostles in 1 Corinthians 4:12, when he was abused. You know what to abuse? That's use of words. He says, he abused not again. Anti-iodorio. He did the exact opposite. Anti-iodorio, that is A-N-T-I-I-O-I. D-O-R-E-O. So, his words never revenged. This is clear that if somebody abuses you and you return it, it's a sin. Can you see? You are quiet. Ah! I gave him back! It's a sin, no? It was not found in the mouth of Jesus. It's not just your heart. It's your mouth. So he reviled not again. Then he says, when he suffered, he threatened not. If you know what God will do to you, that's a threat, oh, and you are crying. And you are crying like someone came to me for counseling years ago. And she was talking about somebody she was supposed to have married and all that and all that. And she said, and she was talking, she was so gentle, she got to the point, she just changed, her face just changed. Then tears came out. Except I'm not a child of God. Except I'm not a child of God. He will not hear a Christian the cry of a baby. I said, That's what you call heavy cursing. How did you manage to say that as a new creature in Christ? Abba, they will hear the cry of the baby. Somebody was talking with me a few days ago. He said, when we say Jesus is not sin, did he not cry as a baby? I said, what do you mean? He said, it is said by psychology that the cry of the baby is selfishness. There are some things you can't answer. Because when some brethren talk, you think they should actually answer altar call for truth. Unfortunately. Where were we? So he didn't respond. This is very vital. Notice that what Peter was talking about were the words of Jesus. James later told us that when a man can bridle his words, he will bridle himself. You can prevent sin. We'll see it. I mean, we are going to locate sin so easily. It's not going to be difficult. We'll undo the mystery behind it. So you say if you can take care of your words, right? You take care of sin. Ah, I've said my mind. I said, ah. Now that we're in Christ, you know, people say we're in Christ. This is just bondage now. What's the essence of salvation if I cannot say my mind? So you were saved to say your mind. I know you were saved not to say your mind. So he didn't say. But look at verse 24. And he committed himself to him that judged righteously, who his own self bore. The word there is anaphero, is not to be imposed upon. A-N-A-P-H-E-R-O. Is used 10 times when you offer up. In fact, in 1 Peter 2:5, the same letter, Peter uses it for spiritual sacrifices. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. So he offered, he bore our sins. He offered himself for our sins. That's what he's saying. Follow this. And we being dead to sins. Okay, surely. Now look at what it says. On his own body. Now when you see the word body, I want to believe that you don't always assume that it's talking about the physical body. Because the word there is soma, which many times refers to the person. By using the term autos soma, is referring to the person himself. His own body. His own self. What is it? The body of Christ, for example. Or you say, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means personally. So, this soma here can better be used as saying he bore our sins personally on the tree. He took it on himself. So he's not talking about on his physical body. We have seen so far that the condition of sin is what? Spiritual. So when you find the word himself, is the word autos, A-U-T-O-S, used 5,606 times, it stresses the person. And you can't call the physical body his person. That his own person. If you look at another description, that we being dead might live. Dead here is the word apoginomai. You know, ginomai means to exist. Apo means to be taken away from existence. This is important. We being taken away, that's the word dead here, is a different terminology. Apoginomai. Might live. Zaho. We've been removed from existence. Existence where? We'll see the existence shortly. Because you know my first state. We've been removed from existence. Might live. Unto righteousness. By or, let's see what that is. We've been removed from existence, are now alive. Or are made alive. Spiritual. So for those who assume that Jesus' death was just a physical death on the cross, then, you know, if somebody said his death was physical, his death was a physical death, but has a spiritual implication, I say we're in trouble. No. His death was spiritual. He bore that condition of sin on himself. That's what he did. So he says, might live righteously or live in righteousness by whose stripe? The word stripe there again is important. Because we have been talking about sin as a condition. So the word stripe is the word bruise or the Greek word molops, M-O-L-O-P-S. This is transliterated straight from Isaiah 53 verse 5. We'll take that in the next session. That is, this was taken from Isaiah 53 verse 5. Again, another text of the Old Testament that has been impoverished. You find that word molops from that Isaiah 53 verse have been used earlier in Genesis 4:23. Just take note of that. We'll come to it. Exodus 21:25, Isaiah 1:6. Genesis 4:23, Exodus 21:25, Isaiah 1:6. Now, we said the word molop or molops is not referring to, in fact, you can't have more than one molop, because the word molops is from molis in the Greek, M-O-L-I-S. It means difficult or hard. Two words, molis and optanomai. Just calm down, I'll show you what it means. Molis is used 6 times, and look at the word difficult, 1 Peter 4:18, in the same letter. So you have to add to what he was saying. If the righteous scarcely be saved, now he's talking about persecution, difficult, a difficult status. Then watch this, vital. I said molops is two words. Molis, difficult. Okay? Or something that can't be found or hasn't been done or can't be done. The second word is optanomai. O-P-T-A-N-O-M-A-I. It means to be seen. To be seen. Again, an absence is spoken of. Difficult to be seen. So the word stripe, this is not a cane. It's the word bruise. It refers to his death. So his death is called a stripe. A blow, a condition. A blow, a condition. So no doubt, Jesus' death is viewed in two ways. It's viewed in what we saw in the four Gospels, and viewed much more in what was not seen. Who's following what I'm saying here? Are you getting this? What was not seen. So, right on, or right in redemption, we see Christ taking the place of a sinful man without sin in his conduct. So that is the, so it's not by stripes. I don't say, well, we have 39 stripes, 39 sicknesses. You mean since 2,000 years ago? Do you know how many sicknesses they have discovered since then? That's not what he's talking about. It's just that the word is actually a singular word. Molop. Stripe or bruise. It's used many times, pay attention, by and this is descriptive. I guess in years to come, I'll take this first in LMA. We'll look at why they had to use these words. The Bible study is a long distance. We need to investigate why they use these words. Because, you know, why did he use it? Because the word molop, again, in application is used for judgment. For example, that's why you'll find that criminals were moloped. You know? It's used for judgment. That is, by his stripe, or better still, his judgment. Did you notice that by saying his stripe, pay attention, by whose
is. Because he had used he bore. So it was self-inflicted. He did not stripe himself, he bore it. So that shows you that the judgment was from a third party or by a third party. So, Molop is to describe judgment. Now look at the key word. For you were as sheep going astray. Planaho. You were sheep going astray. Please, in God's name, notice you were as. You were not sheep. He carefully picks his words. He only uses sheep to explain it. You were sheep going astray. I said that because of those who preach universalism. Very lazy people. You were sheep going astray. Planaho, which refers to error. See how we describe sin. Going astray. Now, going from who? Remember, we're looking at the condition now. Going from who? Because you can't be going away from nothing. Going from. So that means there was a distance somewhere. You were a sheep going astray. Planaho, error. So it calls sin what? Going astray. Error. Error of judgment, error of conduct, error of speech. You are now, come on, look at 25. You are now what? That word has come back to us again. Epistrepho. You are now what? Returned. Restored. Remember that word? Notice that the word sheep was used several times by Jesus. A lot. A lot. By Jesus. It's also important to notice that is the word probator. P-R-O-B-A-T-O-R. Have you also observed that the word sheep was also used for Jesus? Isaiah 53. Because you cannot remove the sorter who personally bears the error from the condition of the people. Isaiah 53 verse 7. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, the same word we used earlier, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Look at that. Oppressed. Afflicted. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before our shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now, did you observe that the word sheep is used differently? In 1 Peter 2:25, go back there, it's used for wandering away without control. Then it's used positively again here for innocence. Who's following this now? Remember we started by saying, don't give a universal application for words. So we have seen sheep used positively and negatively. Sheep used for the man who is as, don't forget, as sheep going astray. The sheep used for Jesus again. Again, is a figure of speech as. Are you getting this? Are you following this? Look at
Acts 8:32. That was what the Enoch, who was the treasurer of the whole land. Now, this would have been the first Gentile to receive salvation. But look at them, it wasn't. It was a Gentile, definitely, but definitely a proselyte. Acts 8. That means he converted. Verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read, it was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, and he opened not his mouth. Look at 33. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is what? Remember what we said. Taken from the earth. That's the strike. Taken from the earth. However, in Hebrews 13 verse 20, it's called, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. Hallelujah. That great shepherd of the sheep. What terminology? 1 Peter 2 again. You are now returned. Restored unto the shepherd, which is the word poimen, used for pastor. The same word in Hebrews 13:20 and Ephesians 4:11. It gives some pastors. The word pastor there, so is or shepherd, is somebody who feeds you, who protects you. And that's his lordship. He now takes care of. He takes care of the sheep. Pay attention to this. Then he also calls him the bishop of your souls. Now, of course, he is called earlier. Let me just observe this one. He's called the Akpoimen in Hebrews 13:20. It means a ruling shepherd. To rule. You find that terminology in Romans 15:12. And Mark 10:42, a ruling shepherd. So it's with authority. Then it's called a bishop of your life. The word bishop is adnos regalia. It means one who oversees. Used by Paul majorly, Acts 20:28. Philippians 1:1, 1 Timothy 3:2, Titus 1:7, Acts 20:28, Philippians 1:1, 1 Timothy 3:2, Titus 1:7, is the bishop of your life. So that restoration is relationship or relational wise, your souls. So we find that sin, therefore, can be seen as a distance, right? Is it a distance? Sin is a distance. Sin is an absence. Are we there? Okay. It's a distance, it's an absence. Notice that he said Jesus was without sin. There was no evil found in his mouth. He didn't restore, he didn't return evil for evil. He caused that sin. Then he now talks about the condition. Now, we've seen the conduct of it. Words. Are you following what I'm saying here? Relational wise with people. Then he now says that he now, having not done that, he now took the condition of that. So I've been seeing sin as an absence. So an absence created those words. An absence created those words of revenge. Something was missing. So he says now, he took on that condition and thou returned us. Notice, he's now called the bishop. So there's no absence. So in other words, the salvation now is seen as a Christ life. Because the relationship thing now is a Christ life. Don't forget that we have looked at sozo in a twofold dimension. The protection from the danger of a committed wrong. Let me say that. Or from an impending evil. But again, it is a restoration, a healing. That is, what was not there is now restored. So, what was missing is what we are going to locate. Are you there? Is what we are going to locate. What was missing is what we are going to locate. So, in other words, we'll close this session this way. Sin, therefore, is seen as an inadequacy, a distance. You can't talk sin without relationship. So we'll take a break. We'll be back by now.